Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio. Brought to you by OnPay. Built in Atlanta, OnPay is the top-rated payroll and HR software anywhere. Get 1 month free at onpay.com. Now, here's your host.
Lee Cantor here, another episode of Atlanta Business Radio, and this is going to be an interesting one. I got with me today Paul Terlemazian with Georgia Learns Now. Welcome, Paul.
Thank you, Lee. Welcome. I appreciate it very much.
Well, tell us about Georgia Learns Now. How are you serving folks?
Well, we are serving folks primarily for our existence through an annual conference that is free to attend, invite only. And gives most everybody that attends a chance to speak and have their opinions heard on very strong and important and sometimes controversial topics that impact learning across the spectrum of learning. So our service is intended to give them the opportunity to have their opinions be heard, to build relationship with others, and overall with the intention of developing relationships and trust that allow for unique and powerful solutions to be created through collaborative efforts.
And this is kind of across a wide variety of people, right? Whether they be for-profit, nonprofit, there's all kinds of people that participate in this, right?
Exactly. It's across the spectrum of learning from pre-K, K through 12, higher ed, workplace, military, police, personal. It's across levels of the organization, from private investors to executive directors to mostly at the high level executives, some consultants. So it is across the industry of learning, which is very fragmented, mostly at a higher level with a wide range of topics. So it does bring in the cross section, but from typically silos that have not interacted with each other. And yet at the high levels, the problems are very similar. We're all dealing, for example, right now, everybody in the world is dealing with the same problem. But in the learning space, it's always been issues like the emerging technologies and security and mobility and such. So the issues at a high level are similar. So it's been very fruitful in that perspective.
So what was the genesis of the idea? How did this come about?
Yeah, thanks for asking. It was really came about out of seeing a need. And that from Georgia as a state is not recognized as being a strong state for learning in terms of our K through 12 system. And that's perhaps unfair, but it's just how it was perceived. And then there were some other things going on in the state where we were perhaps not viewed in the best light in terms of being a leader in education. So a group of us got together and said, let's put a stake in the ground and let's come up with a different way, a different approach, where we could earn for Georgia the reputation of being a global leader in learning innovation. So let's not just be happy to do things locally. And we set ourselves up with a 100-year vision. We knew we would need to be patient, and we knew it would probably survive each one of us. And by putting a 100-year vision on it, we kind of guaranteed that, unless there's some real medical breakthroughs I'm not aware of that are being worked on. But we said, let's put ourselves together and really think for the long term, while creating value every day as well. And that's where the now came. So the Georgia is, where can we focus on really challenging problems? Learns is leveraging every available resource nonstop. Now says, let's do things now, but also with the 100-year vision, so that 100 years from now, people will look back and say, boy, look at all these fantastic learning innovations coming out of Georgia. And it started with something that a few people got together with and planned 100 years ago. They never knew what this turned into, but they did it anyway. So that's kind of the genesis and what sustained us now into our 10th year.
Now, when did you know you had something? When did you start seeing some meaningful traction?
The very first event, when I reached out to 52 executives to ask them if they would attend a 5-hour luncheon at Maggiano's, and 50 of them said yes. And actually 51 said yes. 50 showed up. The one that didn't show up was because there was a death in the family. But I said, I must have something going on here. If I can get 50 out of 52 executives to show up to a 5-hour lunch. Now, granted, it was a free lunch. Okay, I was paying for it. But these were executives, CEOs, executive directors, private investors. 50 out of 52 said yes, they would attend a five-hour luncheon. That told me I had something going on. Now, there's more that's happened since then, but to answer your question, that first year I said, I think we got something here, folks. What have we got? We don't know, but we got something.
Now, when you were all in that room together, was the purpose of that just to get kind of buy-in, like, hey, there is a need, obviously, but to believe in the same mission and to get everybody's kind of priorities on the table so you can kind of get that kind of foundation in order to move forward?
Yeah, indirectly, because what we believe is that, you know, it's not enough to talk about things. We wanted to do something. So we wanted them to experience something that was different. So what we experienced was 7 panel discussions. And everybody's been a panelist. Everybody's been on a panel. But we set up the 7 panel discussions, 5 panelists and a moderator. And everyone got 5 minutes. We tried to hold them to 5 minutes. We tried to hold them back. But everybody got to be a speaker. So they got to express their opinion on 2 topics. What were they doing that if people knew about it, would have a better opinion of Georgia and education? And why was their idea worthy of private investment or worthy of investment? I didn't put private, worthy of investment. So now you can see if I call you as a CEO or an executive, and you've got an opinion on something related to learning, and I said, I'm going to invite you to an event, not to listen to me or listen to others, but so others can hear your opinion about what you're doing and why that's worthy of investment. So it was listening to them and what they had to say versus asking them to listen to me and what I had to say. That's the code I cracked. That's what got people there. But then I had to deliver that. And that room was electric. People were you know, I mean, when to conversate, when these panels came up and the moderator had to drag people off, but then the next panel came up and we were electric for 5 hours. Because there was so much energy. And these were executives. These were people that can deal with a lot of information quickly coming at them. And that's what they got for 5 hours. A lot of information quickly coming at them. They were each going to get their turn. So they were ready for that. But they were just being fed constantly by other smart people bringing other smart ideas that were around a central theme of what are you doing that if more people knew about it, that have a different impression of Georgia, and why is this worthy of investment? There was so much learning going on in that room at an executive level, but so much, they were being heard. That, I think, was also the key thing. They were being heard versus being asked to listen to others. Now, they were listening to their peers, but they were avidly interesting. They were exciting. They were getting fed by that. So that was about proving to them, experience this. How does this feel to you? And the experience was so strong. That's what sustained it, and we've continued to do that and improve on it. But that's what happened that first year.
So now you're 10 years in. How do you see the group kind of managing through this crisis that we're having now?
Yeah, so thank you. So you know, the beauty of it, first of all, is we don't know. The group decides, but we're on a path. The path has started to emerge. A path that occurred right around 16, we brought the group together, but now we put up 10 impossible challenges, things that sounded impossible to do. And we used this format and we adapted it. And then we came up with a thinking framework. And I think one of the things that's needed now, we've got a huge challenge. We have to look at the thinking we're using to solve this challenge, test the thinking itself. Is the process we use to think and build solutions, is it valid? Does it create a solution that's valid and adaptable? So what we need is at a high level, a framework to guide our thinking, because the framework lets us get things done quickly. But the framework itself needs to be adaptable because it may need to be applied to things we've never done before, which is what we're facing now. None of us have been in this kind of situation before. How can we possibly know what to do? Well, if we trust the thinking framework that is designed to be adaptable, that says use it, apply it, and as you use it and apply it, it can be adapted. Well, ironically, this group, with the impossible problems we faced in 16, a group got together, created a framework, which we announced and gave away to the world for free in 17, called the ALO framework, the Accountable Learning Organization framework, that was designed to be adaptable and was designed to create solutions every time. So we announced that in 17, gave it away. We started applying it in 18. In 19, we took it to the next level. And now every day we are applying this framework to solve learning problems. We've got a lot of problems going on now. We've got a lot of solutions. Some of them working, some of them aren't. But people are coming to me and saying, what can we do about it? I'm saying, let's use this framework that we designed as a group, beginning in 16, refined it in 17. We've got 3 years of practice using this framework. Let's now apply it to this impossible problem and come up with solutions. And if time permits today, I'm going to share with you some of the solutions that have just been born in the last 2 or 3 weeks as a result of using this framework and applying it to the situation we're in right now.
All right, so let's get into it. What in this sea of uncertainty and fear that's around a lot of people today, what have you learned and what can people do?
Okay, great. Thank you. I was hoping you'd ask that. So certainly at the core of it was a concept called having the courage to learn. So one of the things that was published and we came up with was a dare. So I'm going to dare everybody that's listening to this to have the courage to learn. And it starts off with, you know, there's a lot of fear out there. And, you know, and 3 or 4 years ago, when we started talking about, we thought we knew what fear was. But certainly today, fear has gone to a level that we've never felt it before. And I don't have to explain where that is. We all know it. Everybody's telling me every day what you need to be afraid of. And they're right. There is a lot to be afraid of. But are you capable, are you willing in the face of this fear to have the courage to learn? And people say, I want to, but I don't know how to. So the first thing I say is, number one, it's okay to be afraid. People who have the courage to learn, it's not because they're not afraid. It's because they're willing to learn how to correctly behave and how to learn despite the fear. And it starts with saying, when you encounter somebody who thinks differently from you, don't try to change their mind. Seek to learn first. Ask them questions. Now, this is really hard, but can you really hear what they're saying? Don't be challenged by it. Don't be frightened by it. Hear what they're saying. It may be a political difference of opinion. It may be a medical difference of opinion. It may be a business or a learning difference of opinion. But hear them for who they are. It's hard, but you got to hear. And then ask questions, not to change them, not to divert them, but to learn more. And then as you've asked those questions, ask those questions in a way that strengthens relationship. So I'm hearing you, I'm asking you questions, and the purpose of my questions is that so our relationship gets better. And then do something with what you've learned. Tell somebody else. So that's, you'll hear acronyms from me. That's the hard acronym. Hear, ask, relationship, do. So when you're confronted with something that frightens you, hear what the person is really saying. Ask them more questions about it. Do so in a way that strengthens relationship, and then do something with that if it's as simple as just talking to somebody else about it. But you might also be able to come up with a solution. So that's where we've started in terms of a mindset and a framework. But then as we have applied that and said, okay, so if you're not there, if you're not really willing to listen to others, you're not going to be able to get to the next stage. So the next stage is we've said, okay, what can we do today? And we've come up with a program, we're calling it E5T5. It's an abbreviation for Each 5, Teach 5. So we've just launched this. We launched it about 3 weeks ago. My goal was in the month of April to get 40 people that were willing to pilot a program where they would be with a small group of four others and myself. So five of us would get together once a month via some online technology, Zoom or Skype or something that I can go online. Video is fun. Audio is fine. But would you agree to get together with this group of five people and each learn from each other? And today I got the 37th. I've got so many. I'm positive I'm going to get at least 40 people in this experiment. And we're going to get together once a month to learn from each other. And the topics we're going to learn about are going to come from each other. Now, that's frightening to the education system, because the education system wants to be in charge of what we learn and to push out what we learn. And this won't work with everybody, and it may not work with brain surgery, but with leadership, with solving some of the problems we have today, can we go to smart people and say, tell us what you need to know, gather with another group of smart people that want to know the same thing, learn together, share what you're learning. So we've launched an Each 5, Teach 5 concept. It's free to participate in. People are joining it. And in addition to agreeing to meet once a month and to share the five topics they want to learn about, they've also all agreed that within 90 days to start their own Each 5, Teach 5 group. And do we have an opportunity here to really begin to virally spread, and I'm sorry to use that word nowadays, but it's intentional. Can we spread good information and good news and good learning, not thousands of people at a time, but five people at a time, five people that know each other, share something, learn together. They then each go share that with five others and then can cascade on and on and on. And can we start to spread good learning and have good conversations? So that's one of the, so in addition to teaching people how to have the courage to learn, which is hard using the HARD acronym, we're now saying, let's use this Each 5, Teach 5 to spread information. And then the third idea that's come up is, and it's half-baked, but it's good enough to talk about, it's good enough to taste a little bit, is what we're calling the ROR. And Lee, are you familiar with ROR?
I'm familiar with ROI. What's ROR?
And you're supposed to ask me the question, but so ROR is very difficult for me to pronounce with my Boston accent. But ROR is the return of revenue. So right now, we're doing a lot to cut expenses, to stay healthy, to try to keep things going. But if we keep on doing that, if we keep on not spending and cutting back and cutting back and expecting somebody else to give us money, but we're not spending money, when is the economy going to come back? When are we going to start to see things happening the way we want to? So what we've outlined, and it's free, and by the way, Each 5, Teach 5 is free. So this is a free service, and the return of revenue is free also. And it starts with this, and it's a belief we have in, we call it the crawl, walk, run, drive, fly, orbit. So we've all heard crawl, walk, run. We've added drive, fly, and orbit. What we've completed with the return of revenue is the crawl, walk, and run. This is everything. This is things that everybody can start doing today for free. At the crawl stage, each one of us, think about something that you miss, something you can't do today that you would love to do. This is the crawl stage. Yesterday, somebody told me it was about getting their nails done. That had never occurred to me. I never had my nails done, but they miss getting their nails done. Today, somebody talked to me about her favorite restaurant that they missed going to. When I was thinking about it, my daughter works at Starbucks. I was missing going at Starbucks to see my daughter working and do that. So the first thing at the crawl stage is take something you really miss that you really enjoy. Go to their website and see what they're telling you they're doing differently because of coronavirus. What are they doing differently to generate revenue for their business, to stay in business, to help you? And when I go to Starbucks' website, I learn that they're working with Uber Eats, their drive-thru is open, and I know that many of them are allowing you to do mobile ordering, which they prefer, because if you mobile order, that gives them more time to prepare what you're going to use. They may have limited staff in their facility. You're giving them more time to prepare. And then by the time you get there, they can deliver it to you through the drive-thru. Or if you walk up, they've got a way to deliver it to you in a safe, socially distanced way. But go there to learn what the services are that you want to buy today. Learn what they're doing so you can do that. And if you can do it, spend a little bit of money with them. Do that. It's something you like doing. It's something you miss doing. So spend a little bit from them. Help them get back, but also learn from that and say, gee, is there something I might be able to do that by studying somebody else that I was really interested in gave me an idea? So we call that the crawl stage of return of revenue. The walk stage is to go back to that website and say, what do I wish they were doing? So when I went back to the Starbucks website, I said, what I wish they were doing was setting up a Zoom room for every Starbucks. So if I could go to my favorite Starbucks, I can't go inside anymore, but if I could go to the Starbucks website, or because I'm a Starbucks member, or because they sent me some special information because I'm a member, if I could drop in on my local Starbucks Zoom room whenever I wanted to, Now, why would I want to do that? Because I might say, you know, there's somebody that I talk with regularly, and we used to get together once every week at Starbucks. We can still do it. Let's drop into the Zoom room. But wait a minute, when I go into that Zoom room, there's 30 or 40 other people in that Zoom room, and it's hard to get something going. But there's a little subroom that you can have in Zoom. So maybe we can drop into one of those subrooms and have our private conversation. And if all the rooms are busy, or if you have to reserve ahead of time, we'll do that. But we can now drop into our Starbucks, see who else is there, and then drop into our local room. I mentioned that to somebody the other day, and they said, you know, there's a Starbucks I go to routinely, and there's lots of people there that I see routinely, but I've never had a conversation with them. I wonder if I happen to drop into the Zoom room, and they happen to be there, and they're still lingering in the main room. I wonder if they might have a conversation with me. Might I, in fact, create a relationship through a Zoom room that I never would have done in a real Starbucks because I didn't want to impose or approach somebody? But if they're intentionally in a Zoom room, in the open room, they're probably open to being intruded on. So let me do it, and I might make a new friend. And then if every once in a while a barista shows up in the Zoom room or drops into the little room and asks if there's anything I'd like to have prepared or sent to me or tells me something new is going on, Starbucks might actually start to market their services to me through the Zoom room. So Starbucks is not doing that today. But I got the idea from thinking about what I wish they would do. And then I noticed on their website they had a button that says, if you have an idea that you'd like to see us do, tell us. And you click on that button, you fill out a form, you can tell them what to do. So we did it, okay? And now I'm telling others about it. And I talked to somebody the other day in a retail business. They're now talking about setting up a Zoom room for their retail business so that their clients can still come together. Maybe they could give advice to the clients about how to order better online, order through the store, whatever it may be. But that all started because I started thinking about what I like to do that I can't do. But a second part of it was, again, hitting that, having a way to tell them, and then telling them. So that's the walk stage. And then I'm going to stop at the run stage because that's all I've thought of so far. At the run stage, I realized my website didn't tell my clients what I was doing differently. So last Friday, I went to my website. I've got two companies. And with each company, I put up a, here's what my company is doing in response to COVID-19. I created a link to where I described what I was doing. And then I asked for their advice and input. So I was now doing what I had experienced from those vendors that I wanted to do business with. I needed to make it easy for my clients to see what I was doing differently, which means I needed to do something differently, which includes the E5, T5 I just talked about and the return of revenue. So I'm telling them what I'm doing because I'm really doing it. I want them to experience it so they can now find out easily about that by going to my website. But now I'm picking up the phone and calling people and telling other people about what I did at the crawl stage and the walk stage. And then asking them if they would look at my website and give me feedback, and then if they would duplicate it and go to their websites and tell their clients what they do differently and start to bring that out. So if we each had all of our clients giving us ideas about what we could do today to help them use our services, wouldn't that be wonderful? And then if we did it, some of them would actually buy it. So do these things that will help generate revenue for others, but you'll also get ideas about what you yourself can do differently to generate revenue for your own company. And that's all that program is all called about, the return of revenue. So that's what we're doing. Those are three examples of what we're doing there. So thanks for asking.
Well, Paul, it sounds like that at the heart of a lot of your work is not to necessarily have all the answers, but to have a lot of empathy and to really listen to the constituents that are part of your ecosystem. And then together, kind of author a solution that serves.
Absolutely. And isn't that what we've always said we've done? But I think what we've always done is say that and then quickly try to get them to buy what we think we've already done. But if we could flip this around, if we could actually change our approach and say, we have to listen now, we don't have any other choice. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Wouldn't that be a wonderful outcome of this horrible situation to say that it actually forced us to do what you exactly what you described, have empathy for the other and actually serve them, take care of them. And in response to that, we get served.
I agree. I think that if we can get young people to really emphasize the listening, the active listening, and the skill of not being defensive and hearing and not judging, but listening, if you can teach that at a young age, so that's just incorporated of that's how young people learn, I think we'd be better served. It sounds like right now a lot of people already have all the answers and they're just either looking for someone to confirm what they thought or just, you know, kind of yell at them about how wrong they are.
Yeah, I'm getting, you know, I mean, too many emails a day, you know, from people I know that are all trying to tell me what I need to do because they've got the answers. And I'm hungry for somebody that says, well, what do you think? I mean, I thank you for this opportunity because you've been asking me to express what I think. And you've already, and you've heard from me saying, I'm telling you what I think, but I'm thinking this way because I've heard it from others. So if we're listening and then sharing what we're hearing, and I think it's young people, I think it's all people. In fact, we've on last Monday, a message came out from MIT. It was an MIT professor saying that we need to stop all the e-learning that's going on. And this was, I mean, everybody is looking at e-learning and everybody putting control online. I was opposed to that, but I decided to stop and listen. And as I stopped and listened, I heard why he was opposed. And I've heard of the very damaging and frightening things that are happening, not intentionally, but a lot of the side effects and the byproducts of people who can't get access to e-learning, dyslexic children who can listen and participate in a conversation in a classroom, but now when they have to go online and read the comments of their fellow students, which go on and on and on and lead to more comments on and on and on, they're falling behind. This is creating social impact to families where their families now have to support their dyslexic child, and children who are perhaps able to learn together are now being further separated because one can learn and one can't. That's the horrible social aspect, but there's solutions, and the solutions involve smaller group conversations, different ways of learning, each five teach five. So we're found in the midst of this, wait a minute, there is a solution, but by listening to others and understanding what's really going on in their world, can we then together come up with a better solution? So you're exactly right, and it's happening now every day for real. We're sharing as much of this as we can for free. Because I said to people, if you had a solution for coronavirus today, what would you charge for it? And the person that says, oh, that's worth a lot of money, I'd charge this. I'd say, no, you'd give it away for free, wouldn't you? Because this is too important to put a price on it. You have to give it away for free. And that's what I feel about these innovations that Georgia Learns is now coming up with. We've always been free. We've been free from our beginning. These innovations you just talked about, these are available for free, and we're going to continue to do that. Each five teach five is free. We'll figure it out. I'm not worried about it. You know, I mean, things happen. That's another whole conversation is how do you monetize free? But right now the conversation is about how do you be free forever and continue to do free and build that and provide that and use that to really solve social problems, social issues, but in a self-sustaining way. If it's free because one person is paying and another one isn't, that's going to run out of money sometimes. But if it's everybody free, I give you for free, you give back for me for free, they give to free, that can sustain itself for quite a while.
Now, if somebody wanted to learn
maybe
more.
Maybe not 100 years. Maybe not 100 years, but we'll find out.
Might be longer. If somebody wanted to learn more, what's the website if they want to get involved and I guess one of those three slots that are left?
Yeah, is georgialearnsnow.ning. That's N-I-N-G. Ning is the company that allows me to create a social website. So georgialearnsnow.ning.com is the company website. And my contact information is throughout there. I think you have it, Lee.
Paul T
at i5alliances.com. And so, but that's, anybody can call me or email me. I'll respond as soon as I can. I doubt I'll be overwhelmed, but that would be wonderful. And I'm building a teams around me now because this E5, T5 is spreading. More people are getting involved, and more people are carrying the message on.
Well, Paul, thank you so much for sharing your story. You're doing important work that's really impacting the community, and thank you.
Thank you. You're welcome.
This is Lee Cantor for Atlanta Business Radio. We will see you all next time.
Today's episode of Atlanta Business Radio is brought to you by OnPay. Built in Atlanta, OnPay is the top-rated payroll and HR software anywhere. Get 1 month free at onpay.com.